Your sign, personality of a fool, and we're going to have this little clip here I think you'll enjoy. This is...
Well, almost find a house. how it was like she was looking for this house, and I was on Craigslist, and here it was, these missionaries over in Africa, they had somebody renting, and then they didn't show up, so they needed to rent right away, just send them money for a key. I showed it to her. She thought, oh, she looked at me and said, hey, why not? It sounds like a good deal to me. So she said, well, was it my fault it was a scam? No, it was not my fault it was a scam. And how dare her ask me to help her get money back or even give her some money for it? It was her money, her decision. I just let her do it. You know, that was on her, not on me. And you know, I haven't heard from her for a while, so I gave her a call the other day, and she has changed her number. She must have moved out of the area. And I have lots of friends anyway. You just keep adding friends to your list. Oh, Facebook. There is a place that if you want to have a little excitement in your life, you become on Facebook. You go on Facebook, okay? Oh, that's really close. You make a person. You make everything up. And then when you're on Facebook, you say something outlandish or really wild. And you will not believe the comments. It is so funny. Oh my goodness, I just laugh. I laugh so hard, it's so funny. You know, and some of those people get insulted. I tell you what, just tough it up, Buttercup. You can't have everything bother you because that is just how the world is. The world is like that, and you better toughen it up because I am tough, and if you want to ever mess with me, you better be careful, because if we're out in public and you make me mad, my father had an Irish temper, and I inherited that, and it's not my fault, but that's just right there. I don't care where we're at. I will get loud, and you will be embarrassed. Will I be embarrassed? No. I already told you. It's all on you. I'll walk out, leave you with the bill, and leave you sitting there. So if you know that up ahead of time, you aren't going to mess with that, are you? And that is really a good thing to know. So it's been really fun to know you. Just come up and say hi. And remember, I have really good advice. And I can tell you all kinds of really good opinions about things. And I know where to get the best clothes and the best cars. And have sometimes shown the pay for as much as you think, okay?
Just the person you want to get advice from, right? We're looking at a fool's personality in the book of Proverbs tonight. I wanted to have you stand. We're going to read these verses, if you don't mind. This is from Proverbs chapter 1. This is just an introduction. There's many other aspects to this that we'll be going into. But the fear of the Lord, we've taught this already, is the beginning of knowledge. But notice this, that fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'm going to go back here for a moment. I want you to look at that, just that beautiful disposition right there. You know, just that's the person you want to be like. verse 22, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? Scoffers delight themselves in scoffing. And notice this, fools hate knowledge. In verse 32, for the turning away of the naive will kill them. The complacency, that word is used in Ezekiel 16:49, speaking of the judgment that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, means careless ease. It's only used there and here. The careless ease of fools will destroy them. So, Father, we pray for your wisdom and your guidance. We thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that, we thank you for that skit, Lord. We've probably all been around somebody that would represent some aspect of what was just shared right there. And we've probably done it many times ourselves. So we ask for your wisdom tonight and your guidance, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the reason I have these first few verses here before we go any further is because sometimes when you think of a fool, you just think of a person that's really kind of a mindless, numbskull type of person. Truth of the matter is, if we're going to be true to the scripture. A foolish person is not necessarily a person that's not well informed. A foolish person can be a very well-educated person. Biblically speaking, Psalm 14:1, it tells you quite clearly that if a person says that there is no God, they're a fool. And then the end result of their behavior is destructive. So if we're being just honest to Scripture, and certainly the book of Proverbs, what we can see in the verses that we've just read to you is that knowledge detached from right relationship to the Creator is a lesser form of knowledge. So you could be a very wise politician. You could be a person that's been very successful in business, probably one of the greatest threats that we have to our world today are business people that have been incredibly successful. They're very wealthy, and then they think they have some God-given right to decide how the rest of the world should live because they were successful in business. Knowledge does not necessarily, it's not lacking in terms of whether a person is a fool or not. Actually, a person could be very well informed and still be a fool. And so if you think about that, you'll notice that a fool, first of all, despises wisdom. Wisdom speaks of, as we've said, the outcome of things. A person thinks about the outcome. The way that they get to a place of wisdom is they're instructed. They learn from others. There's a degree of humility and discipline that comes with that. You have to learn from others. Hating knowledge means that a person would hate the knowledge that is rightly related to the Creator, or in other words, wants to learn everything but those things that relate to the Creator. We've probably all met some person that is book-wise but yet has no relationship to the Creator, and therefore there's this lack of any kind of real care or concern. All of the aspects that would be part of the persona of God are not part of any conversation you have with that person. They just simply can't get there. And then you'll notice this sense of careless ease. As we go through this tonight, what you'll see is that a fool is very, very invested in the moment and not so concerned about the future. They don't think about those things as much. Very self-aware, not necessarily concerned about the fruit or the end product of their decisions. So I guess we could say, when you say, here's your sign, we've all picked up that sign at some point. We've all played the part of a fool. Many times in our life, we've done things without thinking about the end result of what we've just done or how it might impact another person. No matter how well informed we were still foolish. If it wasn't rightly related to our Creator, and if we weren't concerned about the outcome of what we did, and if it was totally self-serving, then in all honesty, biblically, we've been a fool, and here's our sign. So these verses we've covered, but notice, I want to just kind of clarify these. A fool has no respect for the Lord in what they know. Now, this is very important, because Paul says this regarding behavior in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There he's speaking about a person's attitude towards whether they will eat or drink or eat things that have been sacrificed to, an idol, but it was bought at the meat market. It was just the best meat in town, and they just purchased it, and they weren't even considering anything. But he was talking about a person's conscience before God, if it's offensive to another person. And there were those people that realized that that idol was nothing and that that sacrifice really was just, it was just good meat. They weren't even considering any of the other elements. Other people of weaker conscience were concerned about the idolatry that was involved with that meat that these people were choosing to eat. See a similar argument in Romans 14. But truth of the matter is, Paul says this, knowledge is great, but knowledge does nothing but make a person self-inflated. So you can know things, but knowing things really doesn't mean anything. unless you rightly know it, meaning that you know it and it's rightly related to the God who should be related to all the things that we know. So we have to, he says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If I know things and I'm rightly related to the Creator, then I'm going to be concerned about how this relates to other people, everything I do and everything I know. Now, as we go through this tonight, you'll see that many of the conversations of a fool are just conversations, but they're conversations that are inconsiderate of the people around them. We've all played that part. I guess we could say here's our sign. But notice first and foremost that these people are people that just simply have no relationship. They have knowledge, but they have no relationship to the God that should be the means by which the knowledge is communicated. In other words, if we don't know him and what we don't know it yet as we ought. So, first and foremost. The second thing that we see here is that fools have a tendency to trust in their own understanding. So, in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 here, he says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who walks wisely will be delivered." If you take that out, it means that a person that is dependent upon their own understanding is going to be a person that ultimately is going to get himself in a lot of trouble, himself or herself. How many things have happened to us because we just simply trusted how we felt about a circumstance or a situation or something that we were doing? How much trouble do we get in doing that? Just thinking that it seems to be good because it works for other people. If we trust in our own heart, we can be very easily deceived. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the human heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? You've heard that statement many times, trust your heart. It's the worst thing you could ever do. We trust the Word of God. We trust the Spirit of God. We trust the Spirit to convict us, but I don't trust my own inclinations. Because to be quite honest with you, my inclinations can be very deceptive. I don't really understand my motives many times. My own heart can deceive me into thinking that something that I want to do that's really, really good is good for everybody, when actually it's just simply good for me. And God's not going to honor it. So one of the aspects of a fool is that a fool really trusts in their own heart, their own ability to feel things out, to reason things. Later on, as we go through Proverbs, there are verses that speak to the fact that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If you're going to wage war, it's better to have good counsel to wage your war. A fool would never do that. A fool would just trust their own inclinations. The worst thing that we can do, I don't know how many people have gotten into trouble just simply doing what they thought was right and not ever having a sense of any kind of cohesive relationship with others that checks their behavior or challenges them or checks them, if you will, in the way that they act or the things that they do. It's just good to have counsel. Notice the next one here. It says that a fool, what truth they have, they misuse. These are interesting verses because in verse 7 it says, like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is a proverb, truth, a story that tells a truth that's relational in the mouth of a fool. It's like you have it, but you can't use it. In other words, truth is not something that's relevant to them. They don't have any ability to put feet to it. They can't translate past the words into the action. They just can't use it. In verse 9, it says, like a thorn which falls in the hand of a drunk, so is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. You don't know how it's going to turn out. Is it going to hurt them? Is it going to hurt somebody else? You don't know what will be the end result because this person doesn't have the ability to properly utilize what they've been given. A fool is a person that can't ever just because of their own human inclinations, they can never properly transfer truth into action, proper action. Just can't get there. So they can't live out, we were talking at the supper table tonight, of Philippians 2 and verse 12 through 14, it is God which works in you both the to will, the desire, but also the ability to do. God gives us that. A fool might even be able to quote you the verses, might even be able to tell you where it's from, might even be able to relate all kinds of deep intellectual truths, but they can never seem to achieve or come to a place where they can actually act upon it. They don't know the one who is actually the originator of the truth. They just simply can't translate it. Kind of similar to what Jesus said about the Pharisees. Remember in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1 and 2, Jesus said, look, with regard to the Pharisees, I want you to do what they say. Just don't do what they do, because they say and do not. In other words, they had all kinds of information and understanding. Probably no one knew the scripture better than they. But they didn't have the capacity or the relationship with the Creator to actually achieve something with what they knew. In all honesty, actually they became the tools of the enemy of God, did they not? They actually, in John 8:44, were their father was the devil himself. So interesting, because I think we can all say that I've held up that sign myself at times. We all get into, you know, a relationship with truth where we hear it, we know it. You'll talk to somebody and they say, I know that. Okay, that's great, you know it. What are you doing with what you know? Does it affect you? Is it rightly related to the Creator? Is the one who created this world, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, is that truth rightly related to the Creator? For a fool, and I think we can see a little bit of ourselves in all these things, it just never is. Another one is interesting. I think you did a good job bringing this out. They're very opinionated. Actually, it tells you this in Proverbs 18:2. A fool does not delight in understanding as it relates to the Creator. Now, there's a difference, because the Hebrew word here is not just understanding, but it's a deeper word than that. It's understanding in the broadest sense of the word, not just being able to distinguish between things, but actually understanding how things work together. So this fool does not delight in understanding as it relates to the Creator, but notice this, only the word here, exposing, is only used in this stem form one other time, and that's in Genesis 9:21, when it talks about Noah was naked, he was drunk and naked in his tent. In other words, the only thing this guy wants to do, a fool, is just let you know what they think. Now, we live in a day and age when everybody's got an opinion. Those opinions can be incredibly hurtful. You have to be really careful with opinions, because your opinion could be a total insult to another person. You have to be really careful. Now, I'm not talking about biblical truth. I'm talking about all the things that are going on in our culture around us. And we have to be very wise, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. We have to be wise in the way that we approach these things. And one of the things that we should do is we should always distinguish between my own personal opinion and is this something that, when I say it, the Lord Himself is validating what I'm saying. Because truth can be a very dangerous tool in the hand of a person. It can be great for me and hurtful for another person. And we've all seen things happen. It has a measure of truth to it, and it's been used to be very destructive to other people. But if it's rightly related to our Creator, then when I speak this truth, there's going to be a measure of His personality. It's going to bear the mark of His love. It's going to speak to the other person. So it may not agree, but it won't be offensive. They would have to choose to be offended. A fool, and we've all either been there or been around a person like this, just always wants to let you know what they know. And they got the scoop on this, and this is their opinion. And then they name the name of Christ, and that's supposed to make it all right. Well, that's just simply not the case. If you listen to, in all honesty, if you listen to a person, even a person that's not saved, that has any degree of humility, then that person would want to at least respect your opinion and would want, in humility, would want to discuss it back and forth without reacting. A fool is not like that. A fool just wants to tell you what they think. And by the way, we've all been there. Here's your sign. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but notice this, the mouth of fools, it literally pours out spiritually and morally deficient. The word is folly in the Hebrew. But it means it's spiritually and morally deficient speech. Now, when I say that, it means that it's not rightly related to the one who created us. And when we talk about moral deficiency, in all honesty, moral deficiency, folly, is saying something out of character with God. Just something that doesn't bear his mark, that isn't rightly related to him. It's just strictly out of character with his personality. It's just deficient. I guess we could say that many times when the Word of God speaks in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about vain jesting there. It talks about our conversation and the way that we relate. I don't know how to say this. We were talking a while back about just reminiscing. That can be good and that can be bad, but we grew up in a ministry where everything, everywhere you went, it was about the Word. It didn't matter where you went, it was about the Word. You didn't just get together to talk, although you did talk. You might be talking sports, but it was still about the Word. Everywhere we went because it was about the Word. And then other things would happen and you'd have these casual conversations, but it was always about the Word. There was always a sense where you were going to hear something about the Word, you were going to meet somebody that was, you know, that knew, was mature in the Word of God, and you were going to learn something, and it was just, it was always about the Word of God. I in all honesty, I kind of missed that degree of spirituality, where people don't just want to get together and shoot the, you know, breeze, or share their opinion, or talk about all that, but how does this relate to the Word of God? How do we bring this into a right relationship with the one who created us? How can I take this truth and communicate it in a way that speaks of the Creator, the one that I know that lives in my heart, the Word of God, and the love that He has expressed in coming and dying for me and for you? How can I relate this truth to that? Because in all honesty, it would make our relationships with one another much different if everything we did was about this, especially in a polarizing time frame like the one that we live in. If we could just make sure that there was the breeze of the Holy Spirit in what we're doing, that He was there in the midst of the conversation, that it truly was edifying, it truly was complementary to God, that even if I was talking about a terrible game like last Sunday's football game, I could still bring it back. I could still have Christ be in the midst of that conversation. I don't know how you can do that, but you should be able to do that. But you see what I'm saying. Everything should have some degree of relationship to the one who created us, even the things that we enjoy. Because He created us to rightly relate to these things. A fool has no ability to do that. A fool just communicates, but has no sense of relationship to their Creator. I don't believe that believers can talk about certain things around other believers or even in the world and feel comfortable doing that. Why? Because it's not rightly related to their Creator. not the one who gave his life for them. So how can you talk about some of these things or even laugh at some of these things or even be entertained by some of these things if it's not rightly related to the one who created you? You just can't. So you see how this kind of, it regulates our behavior in many ways. Notice that a fool enjoys and intends to continue in sin. So the Word of God says in Proverbs 13 and verse 19, a desire realized is sweet to the soul. But notice this, it's an abomination. And the word there for abomination is the word that is the most, how can I say it? It is the worst, it is the abomination. It's like the cities that were given to total destruction. They were abominations to fools to turn away from evil. So there's something intriguing for a person who's not rightly related to their Creator, even a believer, that has not truly come to an understanding of their relationship to Jesus Christ through the cross. There is something intriguing about doing things that are wrong. Now let's be honest. When we were in sin, many of us did things and we enjoyed doing them. At least for a season, right? Sin's always good for a season, right? And there was some kind of intrigue with it, and there was some enjoyment that went with it, something personal benefit that we got out of it to some degree, and we just did it. A fool lives off of that kind of stimulation. A fool can't get beyond that stimulation. A fool is a person that can't stop being stimulated in such a way. This is one of the things with, you know, people that if we've been delivered from an incredibly destructive past, it's interesting to hear testimonies at times. Because sometimes people start sharing testimonies and you see this twinkle in their eye and you hear their conversation and it's like, wow, that was so exciting. I did all these things. I was so bad back. That's basically... That's that intrigue factor. That's that stimulation factor that becomes a part of doing those things that we have to die to. That really, in all honesty, we should be ashamed of. Because it was not only hurtful to ourselves, but to others. A fool never gets past that sense of stimulation. It says fools ridicule guilt in chapter 14 and verse 9. And the word here for guilt is the word that's used for the guilt offering. It's the same word that would be used for reparation. It's what would be given. It's used in Isaiah 53:10 for the Lord, his own sacrifice. It was payment for all of our sins. A fool never sees the need for a payment. In other words, they never were necessarily wrong in doing it. They may have been caused by somebody else. They're the victim, they're not the cause. It's foolish to blame my wrong behavior on something either that's happened to me or what somebody else did to me. It's my behavior. I will stand before God for my behavior. And we live in a victimized and victim mentality culture today where people do many things because of what they feel someone else has done either to them or has happened in the culture. We just went through a whole summer of that. And the truth of the matter is that's the mindset of a fool. A fool ridicules the responsibility for their actions. A fool doesn't see the necessity of being responsible for what they've done. I mean, if we think about David, so many people oftentimes reflect on David and David's life and how great a man he was, but truthfully, probably the greatest statement that David ever made was in 2 Samuel chapter 12 when he said, I am the man I have sent. Because he was no longer being a fool. He was acknowledging his own wrongdoing in the taking of Bathsheba. And by the way, some people, there are people that believe that he being the king had every right. No one was to question him. He had every right to do what he did. He was the king. He had every right before man, but certainly not before God. The truth is that if we're right in our relationship with our Creator and the one who gave his life for us, Jesus Christ, then there's a sense where we are willing to acknowledge our faults. Why? So that he can be faithful and just to forgive us in 1 John 1:9. If I can't do that, if I don't need to be forgiven, then there's no need for his sacrifice. Fools can't control their emotions. We're going to move quickly here. It says a fool always loses his temper. But it actually, the word a wise man holds it back, it actually says that it's in the back, that it's in the rear. In other words, a wise man can restrain these aspects because they realize that their behavior would ultimately be hurtful to others. A fool just simply can't do that. Now, we've all done this. I remember years ago, the reason I stopped playing flag football, some of you might have been there. If you were, I repent in ashes and dust again. But I stopped playing flag football because we got into this game and there was just, I don't know what it was about, there was like a spirit to this game. And like the whole point was just to rile, you know, it just seemed like it was just a horrible day. People were picking on each other and no one likes to pick on people more than I do. But it was just one of those days and I ended up getting really, really angry. I had to get up in church the next Sunday and repent in front of the whole congregation for the way I acted at a football game. Look, I was foolish. It was built upon this some kind of stupid belief that I still had some ability or something. I don't know what it was, but it was stupid. And I was foolish. A fool can't restrain his temper. In other words, he can't hold it back. He can't think about how it would affect others. It's a sign of a fool. They just don't care about how they act, how it affects others. Fool's lips will bring strife. It's the same word for contention, actually arguing a court case. A fool's always there to argue. People that argue about scripture, people argue about this and that, because for them, their cause is more important than Christ himself. And by the way, we've all been there, even with beliefs in the church that we want to cling to the point that we can be hurtful to others and clinging to this truth that it's not a primary doctrine, it's a secondary doctrine. We want to make a big issue of it. We become fools. We're more hurtful than helpful. There's no sense of tenderness. So the last thing I want you to see here, I mean, there's other elements, but this is, I think, really interesting. Did I just miss it? Did we go back? Is it there? What's going on here? Oh, God. Can't control their emotions. The last one, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 24. It should be the next one up, but apparently it's not there. It says that a fool can't be realistic. Now notice this. Wisdom's in the presence of the one who has understanding. So if you have understanding, you can distinguish between elements. You can look at things and see all the various elements that relate to it. But notice that the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. In other words, a fool has these aggrandized type ideas, but has no rational way to get there. A fool is a person that talks about all the things that may be or could be or wow, this would be, but never has the, doesn't have the ability to distinguish the steps that it would take to get to that point. Or just the humility and the wisdom just to methodically get there. They just don't have it. There's other aspects to this. The Word of God here in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 21 and 25 tells you that a fool is an embarrassment to their parents. If a person raises a fool and that person lives out their life in such a way, in the Hebrew mindset, it was just a total embarrassment to their parents. By the way, it was the point behind discipline, that foolishness is bound to the heart of a child in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, and discipline was the means by which they were to be corrected. And let me just say this last thing, and I think this is really important, because in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it's verse 31, it says that evil fellowship corrupts good manners. And the word there for manners is ethos, which means ethics. We get ethics from it. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, it says this, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." You are who you hang out with. If you hang out with people that are just totally self-centered and have no relationship in the way that they act, they speak, things that they do, they may have the vocabulary down, but it never seems to reach into the realm of achievement. If you hang out with those people, then you'll be like those people. Ultimately, their own self-motivation will rub off on you. You are who you hang out with. It's just as simple as that. In chapter 14 and verse 7, it says, "Leave the presence of a fool, or you'll not be able to discern words of knowledge." If you hang out with a person who's self-centered, we as human beings have this innate ability to mimic the behavior of those that we befriend. And this is why our relationship to one another, it may be friendship, it also should be ministry. Meaning that I am aware of not only my need for Christ in this relationship rapport that we have, but your need also. And I respect you for who you are in Christ, and you respect me for who I am in Christ. And that should always be between us. And if it is, then the relationship is a decent relationship. If it isn't, then we just kind of merrily go along following each other on to destruction. Do you see what I'm saying? They used to call this soul attachments, where people of common personalities would stick together that would manifest the same traits, the same weaknesses, and they would just complement each other in the weakness. They called it soul attachments. Truth of the matter is, it's just two people that they don't have the cross between them. In other words, they're not thinking in right relationship with their Creator in the relationship they have with one another. Christ should be the centerpiece of all of our relationship. Doesn't matter whether it's a work relationship, fellowship in the dorms, we're sitting down. How can I, in the most mundane conversation, can Christ be the spirit of this conversation? Can He be the means by which I communicate? Even if I never name His name, can His very spirit bear out His love in this conversation? Am I thinking of this person and the way that I speak and the things that I say and how I act? Even if I'm goofing off, can that be a part of it? Can this person know that I love them with the love of the one who died for me? A fool will never be able to get to that. A wise person is a person that this is part of all their conversation. It's always there. Amen. Any questions tonight? We have a few minutes if you'd like. Do you have the microphone? If there are any questions, just put your hand, I'll get the microphone to you. If not, we're going to end it right here. right over here on my left. It's Victoria.
My question is, what happens when you have a fool?